Edwards, accepted. Next item, please.
Item 121, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $89,959 from Portland General Electric 2016 Renewable Development Fund for Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 Solar Plus Storage Project.
Thank you for your patience. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll begin. good morning. My name is Danny Grady. I'm the Senior Energy Specialist with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm testifying before you today to request that you accept and appropriate this grant in the amount of $89,959 from Portland General Electric's 2016 Renewable Development Fund for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 Solar Plus Battery Storage Pilot Project. First, I'd like to recognize Portland General Electric's Renewable Development Fund, or RDF, program. The RDF is funded by PGE ratepayers who make voluntary contributions to support the development of, of local renewable energy projects. They make a choice to have a line item added to their bill specifically to support projects just like this one. And the PGE has one of the most successful utility programs of this type in the nation, which I think speaks to the commitment of our community in supporting the development of projects like this one. The city was awarded these funds through a competitive RFP process. These funds have allowed us to expand the scope of the original project, which was originally a 30-kilowatt project. It has allowed us to expand the scope to include the battery storage component. And it simultaneously helps to free up the funds dedicated for this project for continued and additional solar development. Solar projects are not something that are new here at the city. Since 1990, the city has a stated policy to support sustainable energy resources such as solar. The 2009 Climate Action Plan calls for the accelerated transition to renewable energy resources. And in 2015, Council adopted a resolution outlining sustainable city principles and 2013 environmental performance objectives for city operations. That includes a goal of meeting city operations electricity use using 100% renewable energy, either generated or purchased. The goal is further to have 15% of the electricity use come from renewable resources. We're currently at about 7%, so we're halfway there. The city currently has, with the completion of the North Police Precinct, which is currently being built and should be completed by the end of the month, that will bring the overall solar assets on city operations to 657 kilowatt hours at 16 sites. That's the equivalent of about 710,000 kilowatt hours, which is enough to, again, the equivalent is approximately 65 average Portland homes to be powered annually. The Fire Bureau has currently has solar assets at four of their stations, totaling 25 kilowatts. So this will this 30 kilowatt system will more than double the Fire Bureau's current solar assets. In addition to this being a solar project, this project really represents a strategic shift in the development of the city's solar resources. The 2016 Mitigation Action Plan recognized the benefits of energy storage in critical city facilities in order to bolster the resilience of city facilities and emergency response staff to respond to emergencies. This project represents the city's first solar plus battery storage demonstration project. Solar plus storage is a rapidly emerging technology, and the city is showing a great deal of leadership in developing this type of technology and planning for resilient response while embracing this this resource to meet multiple both resilience and sustainability goals. Due to the new battery storage component of this project, there's been a lot of interest from community partners who have reached out to us, including the Energy Trust of Oregon, who's offered development assistance in terms of design development assistance, as well as PGE, who is interested also in working with us to develop a demand response pilot. So there's a lot of interest, a lot of enthusiasm within the community for this project, and again, it meets many of our goals. So with that, I'll turn it over to Deputy Chief Benetti.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Deputy Chief Marco Benetti. I'm the Deputy Chief of Logistics, Port and Fire and Rescue. And when Danny came to us and asked us if we were interested in this type of project, we overwhelmingly were just excited about it. So we discussed it, decided that Station 1 was probably the best location for a project of this type with solar voltaic panels on the roof. The key part was the battery backup. And so originally, we were just going to go with the solar arrays, and then when this grant opportunity arose, we said, let's jump on it, and really would add to the resiliency to the main fire station, which is Station 1 at 55 Southwest Ash. The interesting thing about this project is it also, we have a backup emergency generator there, but we also, adding solar arrays would augment that capability during the daylight hours. However, since it's a 24/7 operation, including a battery backup system, which would continue to operate after maybe you ran out of fuel of the generator or some other interruption occurred, was a really key factor for continuing operations in the event of a major earthquake or any other emergency, since Station 1 is dedicated as our area command center or incident command center in a major emergencies on the west side of the river for Portland Fire and Rescue. So this is an exciting project. It's also going to provide an opportunity for some training for not only ourselves but for the public, for regional partners. If they wanted to be able to access the roof, come take a look and see what a solar array is with the battery backup system. It's quite a large structure, roof structure, so there's room up there to be able to do a show and tell. Solar panels are becoming more and more prevalent around the country and the world, and they pose significant special hazards to emergency responders when something goes wrong with them. So the technology is changing, but right now the only way to shut off the power to a solar panel is to cover it up, basically. Some of the new technology is going to allow a disconnect to be right there at the panels to be able to shut off the power without having some kind of shutter system or a tarp or whatever might be available to turn that off, so it's safe for people to work around and mitigate any emergency at that site. So we've had fires underneath solar panels and things in the past.
So that's why you would need to turn it off?
Yes, if there's an emergency with the system, for emergency responders, they need to be able to know how to shut off the system to safely operate around it. Because you can't really work around an energized system safely. You need to be able to learn how they work, how to disable them, and work correctly and safely around them. So this is one opportunity that was part of the grant requirements, that demonstration project. Can it be accessible to the public? Are the training components available for emergency responders or anyone else? And also, is it going to provide a benefit to the public, to emergency services, and pick a topic? And this just kind of fell into place in all those areas. So we're excited about it.
I have a question. You know, when we did Bud Clark Commons, the goal was to get to lead platinum. And the solar, and long-term, the goal is to become energy independent as a building. My understanding is the 32,000 kilowatts per hour that's generated here will cover about 6% of the electrical needs of the station. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So, and that's certainly worth acknowledging, but how do we close the gap on the remaining 94%?
Through energy efficiency. I think that the existing systems that that are at the fire station, we need to be operating those systems as efficiently as possible. The amount of renewable energy that's available to be generated is limited by the amount of rooftop space and existing technology. So short of identifying an off-site renewable energy system that we can then be able to wheel that power directly to the station, which is
Again, another type of emerging technology as well that we can certainly continue to explore. But the goal in terms of energy management is always starts with energy efficiency. Have your load as small as you can and then offset the rest as best you can.
Thank you.
We're sometimes limited by sunlight, too.
Yeah.
What level of seismic resiliency is Fire Station 1? Is it going to stay up in the 9.0 quake?
My understanding is in the Cascadia subduction zone event, it may not. And we're viewing this as very much a pilot and demonstration project to provide proof of concept. And this is the opportunity that we had given the location and the funding opportunity. It's the location that we have at the time of the funding opportunity. Once we do provide, create proof of concept that this is a system that works, we would like to very much include this in other areas that would be impacted less and are more likely to still be standing after such an event.
Fire Station 1 was, in the last several years, recently upgraded seismically to withstand to those standards. Might happen at a 9.0 earthquake. So it's a good location right now to do this.
But isn't it in a liquefaction zone?
Yes, but the foundation has been stabilized with a grouting system below to minimize any liquefaction, and I won't say eliminate because I've never seen that happen, but it was engineered specifically to basically build a big rock underneath the station to prevent the liquefaction from creating it to move.
I remember that, but why are we putting this on the west side when there's most of our population lives on the east side?
In solar voltaic panels?
The project, and actually I guess the further question is why is Station 1 your area command rather than somewhere on the east side?
Well, the east side is also part of the Emergency Communication Center, so we'd respond there, but that's the main station where the deputy chief on duty operates from 24/7 and also where the administrative offices are for the Fire Bureau. So that is it's one point. We also have our logistics facility at 11th and Powell is another location that we'd be able to marshal to and do an area command or incident command from that location as well. So it's on the east side.
Very interested to hear how it goes. What's the time frame that way you'll know how it's working?
The grant requires that the construction is completed and everything's up and running within 18 months.
In 18 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm just thinking for the Emergency Communications and Emergency Management Center that I don't know what their backup power system is, so something we might need to look up.
Yeah,
sooner.
I am aware that we have looked at those facilities as well, and with a lot of solar facilities, you're limited by the integrity and structure of the roof. And so, as things such as the through routine maintenance, it comes time to replace the roof. That is one thing that I look at with all the city's facilities. That's a prime opportunity to look at the feasibility of systems just like this.
Yeah. So obviously, since you're in charge of emergency management, and it's a relatively new building, I would hope that the roof would be able to do that. Maybe they already figured something out.
I would hope so,
too.
Yeah, so we'll look at it.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Any further comments? Any public testimony on this item, Carla?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet. Mr. Wilkins?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Edric, we're just accepting a grant here.
And appropriating.
I can't talk?
No, you can. But we welcome your comments, but we're just accepting it.
I'm a PGE ratepayer, and actually I'm fascinated about this term called storage. And when I was going to Portland State, there was a thing called a superconducting flywheel, which spins around and stores electricity. In New Zealand, they actually pump water back on top of a dam at 90% efficiency and then flood it back down to store electricity. I've had an idea one time, why don't they just make, it's like art, have a spinning flywheel in a culvert in which you and have glass on top and you could see this thing spin around and store electricity. That would be, I'll propose that to PGE. It's very artistic. If you put lights on the armature, it'd actually make like a little TV. There's ways to like put lights, have a clock, and this thing would be storing electricity. And it's interesting because it stores by moving something around in a circle like a generator instead of. And in the last 20 years, people have concentrated on lithium batteries for laptops, and get away from this idea of storing energy mechanically.
Thank you.
I have to say, you're spot on. We have a demonstration project where in one of our Water Bureau pipes, we use the flow to generate a turbine that generates electricity. But as you also know, we have a major hydro power operation in the Bull Run. So we capture the velocity of the water that's released, generates clean energy through our hydropower plant. So both good ideas.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting, and it's different than just batteries, which you can't see them. It's actually fun to watch something turn around. I've been at the Bonneville Dam, and you see the generators go like.
Good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Nelson. I was glad that Commissioner Fitz didn't forget about his microgeneration in the PWB pipes. And I think that that might be something to add or to consult with, you know, the people working on that project is, if we have massive disruption, obviously some pipes won't have water, so there won't be microgeneration, but also transmission will be down. So maybe co-locating microgeneration in PWB pipes near emergency service centers is not too cost prohibitive. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Very interesting and a much appreciated aye. Thank you.